The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DePaul University. With more than 195,000 alumni around the world, DePaul graduates are a force in the workforce. Learn more at herewedo.depaul.edu.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Every night at 6:50, we bring you the song of the night, and tonight's edition, the Post Malone cover of Hootie and the Blowfish, Only Want to Be With You, has riled up the Twitch chat, ESPN 1000 Chicago, on the merits of Post Malone as an artist. It's a lot of back and forth in the Twitch chat Post Malone. I love it. It's great.
I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, jump in. Jump in and argue. You're a music guy. You love this. You love debating music.
Like Ross K. Fish is saying that you don't rate a great song by popularity. I'm giving you song facts. Like, I'm literally giving you facts about the song. This is where it was in the charts. This is this thing.
Why would you say that's a great song based on where it is in the Billboard Top 100
chart? Two people are going back and forth about how saying covers don't make you a great musician. And I'm like, well, if you can play a really good cover and maybe it's better than the original, I'd say you're a pretty good musician. Just me. But if Post Malone, a guy who you'd say if you're not judging books by their cover, you look at that guy and you're like, nah, I don't think he's doing Hootie and the Blowfish. And he does that and you're like, okay, not a problem. Music is subjective. Shut up and let people enjoy what they want.
Whoa, coming out with hot takes.
No, it's not hot.
It is.
I like different music than other people do.
It's fine. I love it. Well, that's why on Song of the Night, we try and select from a wide variety of songs.
Like Ross K. Fish. I'm sure Fish are great. I can't stand Fish.
Yeah.
I love the Grateful Dead, though.
It's not my jam.
Love the Grateful Dead. Listened to a lot of Grateful Dead the last year. It was one of my top artists on Spotify. I was like, oh, yeah, it was one of those years. So I sat inside and listened to a lot of Grateful Dead.
Well, it was that type of year, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which is fine. They're just not my thing.
312-332-3776. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Marcus and Palatine, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, guys? Only want to be with you.
What's up, Marcus?
Hey, brother. You ready for the video game of the week or what?
What do you got for us?
All right, man. Let's go back to it. No Mario sound for this. We're going back to the Contra Run and Gun video game.
Yes.
That was released in 1987 and became a part of the Nintendo video game system in 1988. Who does that remember? Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, select, start.
Start.
Who does that remember that?
What? Did we lose him? Mark, is he there?
Video game, bro. Especially with another buddy playing with you. Oh, my God. I don't even know where I can go from this, but I will find another higher level after this one. But,
how about that, Marcus?
Go ahead. You can speak. It's your show.
No, go ahead.
Listen to the music.
Great content. I love it.
Playing it. Oh, my God. This is awesome. I feel like I need the splatter gun right now. Hey, real quick. What was your favorite gun? Mine was splatter. Laser guns suck. Machine gun was great, but you had to have splatter gun. You had to have splatter gun with 99 lives. I'm just telling you right now, if you've never beaten Contra, you guys are not living. I'm just telling you this right now. That is so amazing. I love that game, and I play it in the summer every weekend. You have to play this. And all of you guys that have never played this game before, you are not living. Get yourself out there, stop doing tots in the bar like how Abdallah says, and play a video game.
Yes.
Stay in your garage and play a video game. Okay.
Rack 'em.
No more breath, guys. What do you guys got to say?
Thank you, Marcus. We appreciate the phone call. Are you calling back next week with another video game?
Can I ask you, can I?
Yeah,
of course. Call whenever you want
to.
Marcus,
all calls welcome, man. All calls
welcome.
Okay,
so we're going to do every Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll try at 7 o'clock and do after the, what's it called?
Song of the night.
After the song of the week, I'll do the video game of the week.
Okay.
That's great.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Is that cool?
That is very cool.
Love it.
So I got my own spot on a radio show?
Yes, you do.
I mean, yes. You call us in, yes. He keeps giving us great content.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm doing fine.
You're part of the team, Marcus. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hell yes. I love you guys.
We can't pay you, but.
Yeah, there's no pay involved.
There's no
pay. This is
yeah.
just, you're just calling.
Like, we're not sending you a check.
But, like, it's great. We love it. But, yeah.
There's no check. I understand. Yeah, but yeah. Maybe a like on Twitter or
oh,
whatever.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
are a great tweeter. So I appreciate
hey,
you.
I'm
so,
Nick
absolutely.
Week 23 on
Boom.
Twitter. I've
Boom.
Tweeted you guys plenty of times.
Boom. Locked and loaded. We got you.
That
love
just
it.
Happened.
Boom.
That
yes, it did. That just happened. Thank you, Marcus. Talk to you next week.
You guys, have a wonderful night. See you next Thursday, 7 o'clock.
Talk to you then. That's Marcus in Palatine. A little video game report.
Pretty good cover, too, out of the top.
I played a lot of video games this pandemic, too, saying get out of the bar and go play video games. That's all I did this summer.
Yeah, no, no.
This year.
Hey, listen, man. Don't come at people who want to play video
I'm
games.
I'm not. I love them. Yeah,
games.
They're great. Contra's great. What old school ones have I been playing? NHL 95? Toe Jam and Earl.
Did you buy an old system?
No, I have
a found, Sega. You had one that was
I have.
Around?
I had two old Segas. One of them stopped working, so I now have one working Sega. But I did, of course, before PlayStation 5 came out, bought an old PlayStation 4 that still works just fine.
Now,
and all the games work from former producer Billy Zuricat.
Oh, shout out to Zuricat.
Yeah.
We're both kids of the 90s,
mm-hmm.
So there was a divide with kids in the 90s. You were either a Sega Genesis home, or you were a Super NES home.
I was a Sega home.
There were homes.
Yeah,
now, before I get well-actually, there were very well-off homes where you had both.
They also had pools.
Yeah, they had pools. They had a butler. They had the whole thing.
You had like, two systems?
Yeah, wow. But in the early 90s, you were either a Sega Genesis house or a Super NES house, Super Nintendo. And I was a Sega Genesis house.
Same.
And I was always jealous. There was nothing more in life that I've ever been envious and jealous over than the kids who grew up with Super Nintendo.
Never.
Because, like, here's the
I'm not
rule of thumb.
Why? We had better games.
I'm with you.
We had better games.
I don't know.
Dude,
because whenever you went to a friend's house that had Super NES, they had the Mario games, and they had the race car game. Was it the G-Force game, the race car game?
No.
That game was awesome. They had Mario Kart.
No.
No, I get it. They have better games. But I was always so jealous of
Sonic.
Because, you know, when you're a kid, like, jealousy is like something that consumes you. You're like, I just want that toy. I want that game. And the fact that I had Sega Genesis.
This
like
is your worst
like,
take.
Because here, no, it's not my worst take. It's just how I feel. That's not a take. And how I felt was like, yeah, I can play Sonic all I want. But like at a certain point, Sonic ain't Mario.
No, you shouldn't have
like,
had.
Like,
you
that's,
shouldn't have
that's,
had,
that ain't it.
You
that
should
ain't
have
it.
Had controller envy.
No, I did
the controller
as a kid.
Was better. It was more ergonomically.
No, yeah, the controller was better, and the Madden was better on Sega.
So
Madden was better on Sega.
Then what are you worried about?
And it also had the NBA game, NBA Live.
And NHL?
Nobody played NBA Live on that court that was on the angled. Remember the angled court, and you throw the alley-oop from Gary Payton to Sean Kemp every single play? Like, nobody played that game more than me. But I was envious of Super NES.
Nah,
but here's the great equalizer. When Nintendo 64 came out, everyone just got that. Like, kids could go get the Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast sucked.
Ugh.
That was a horrible decision.
Ugh. You know what was the downfall of Dreamcast?
So, like, Nintendo 64.
You could burn them, right? Yes.
Indeed.
Since Nintendo 64 was a great equalizer.
Yeah.
Because for all the envious Sega kids who wanted Super NES, I was able to upgrade to N64, and that was the better system at that time.
Yeah, 64 was
and
great.
And that was before GameCube, that was before we got to the Xbox and everything else, and
I
PlayStation.
And 64 was great, and
so
then,
on and so forth.
And then everyone had Xbox.
Everyone had Xbox.
Then you came, then the Xbox
then it became
PlayStation Wars.
Xbox PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I was a PlayStation kid.
See, I was an Xbox kid,
an
and
Xbox
I was
over here.
Somewhat jealous of the PlayStation kids.
I'm not going to lie.
Except for Halo.
Not going to lie. Never once in my life have I been jealous of you Xboxers.
Well, you know what? No.
My decision to go with PlayStation from day one was a good decision.
Because
I took Bandicoot and I went on my way.
See, I loved Halo and Halo over everything. And then I was told PlayStation kids, go play Final Fantasy, dummy.
Derek and Carol Stream, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
Black and Abdallah, my guys, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, Dolly, you're spot on about the Genesis over the NES, man. Earthworm Jim,
hell yeah.
Toe Jam and Earl, they had
hell
the
yeah.
more creative games. The controller was better. Yeah, Cyberball, Altered Beast, Joe Montana, football. I mean, come on.
And then you had the Sonic and Knuckles that you could open up and put other games on top of.
Oh, yeah,
so you could
great.
Get Sonic and Knuckles in
that.
Your other games.
I had that.
What are you jealous of? You couldn't do that with Nintendo?
Because of the Mario games.
Oh, Mario can kick rocks.
No, the only good game on the NES was the Star Wars series that you could play. That was good, too.
What was that other one that was good? Mega Man. Mega Man was
Mega
okay.
Mega Man was very good.
Mega
yeah.
Man was okay.
It was very good.
It was okay.
Bite your tongue.
I didn't waste my time with it.
Yeah, I got Toe Jam and Earl and Earthworm Jim.
What
I'm
about,
with Derek.
What was the Fox, the Flying Fox, Star Fox?
Star Fox
was 64.
Star Fox was really, Fox, no, they, yeah. there was one for Super NES too. It was just broke.
Was.
It was a broke version of it.
I remember, like, because one of the first
few
games.
It was great on N64.
Because the first like three
right.
games you could get were yeah. Halo, or not 64. Oh, 64 was GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm. Mario 64.
Mario.
And Star Fox.
And Star Fox, yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was like Cruisin' USA came out shortly Damn. After. Dennis on GoldenEye. The north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dennis?
Dennis.
You're on.
Dennis. He's playing Toe Jam and Earl.
Dennis.
Yes.
Oh, what's...
sorry. I'm trying to pick up food for my kid. I just wanted to say, you know, we're big fans of you guys. You know, you guys are awesome. But I wanted to talk about Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
I was that guy that got Sega Saturn instead of, I think, PlayStation at the time. And I got to agree with you guys, too. I envied my friend because he had Super Nintendo. And I had Sega Genesis. But, you know... Go ahead.
Dennis, how rough was that? Like,
I
like
had a buggy
knowing that you had the worst version, but you're stuck with it because, you know, back in the day, you know, you couldn't go trade on apps and all this stuff. Like, you're stuck with that system for years.
You know what? I thought I was winning because I got three free games. I think it came with, like, Virtual Fighter and I forgot what was the other one. There was a Daytona 500. And I tried so hard to like those games, man.
Dennis,
but
you can
I
be.
I gotta say, one of the worst decisions of my life.
Dennis, you can be honest with us. This is a safe space. Did friends ever want to go to your house?
No, man. I was always at my friend's house.
There you go. I'm sorry. I had a friend with Saturn, and we were like, no, let's not go to your house.
You know, and Nintendo 64 saved most of us, and GoldenEye was the best.
Yeah.
So you know, I gotta say, and Mario 64. And now I got a 5-year-old who can beat Mario Odyssey in a day. In about a day, so it's kind of funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the tradition is still there.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call, Dennis. And there's always a safe place here for people who had the bad video game system. You can always talk to us. We're with you right here, sir. Dennis, thank you for calling.
You guys are awesome, and again, congrats on the show, and looking forward to hearing you guys more. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it.
I feel like we should, you know, like the sad puppy commercials? Like, we should have a commercial for guys that had the bad system growing up. You know, like, you can always call Black and Abdallah
okay.
with Sarah McLachlan playing in the background.
In the eyes of an angel. So dude be like, but I can play CDs in it.
You guys can all sleep
Bro, like
over
four
at my
people
house.
Have CDs.
Everyone can sleep over at my house.
I feel like the people with Sega Saturns, all their family also had a laser disc.
Oh, yeah.
They just like discs.
What a disaster that was. We talk with Vincent Goodwill on the NBA next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
The Bulls take care of business last night. They beat the Timberwolves. They are now the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. No, seriously, Bulls fans, not kidding. The Bulls right now ahead of Charlotte and Miami in the sixth spot. They're behind the Raptors, the Pacers. Then we know in the Eastern Conference, the top three, the 76ers, they're one of the best teams in the league. Same with the Nets and the Bucks. But the Bulls right now sitting at six in the East.
You act like they don't know. Every Bulls fan was Shouting from the rooftops yesterday.
I'm just saying, like, 15 and 16.
Like, it was,
you know,
locked in.
If you compare it to the Western Conference, I mean, the Bulls would not be sitting in the sixth spot there in the Western Conference. I mean, you look at Dallas, they're 500, and they're in the ninth seed. So the Bulls are under 500, but they are, at the moment, in the playoffs. Let's talk to Vincent Goodwill, fantastic writer from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, Vince Goodwill. And Vincent, when we look at the Bulls, what's your interpretation of what they've been able to accomplish to this point in the season?
I think just being competitive has been the most impressive thing when you consider the lack of offseason and the lack of personnel turnover. Like, this is largely, with a couple of exceptions, the same group that last year everybody was saying trade everybody. And you see what happens when you got a new front office, a new direction, a new coach. And this hasn't been a traditional season. So even if you factor in some of the close losses that they've had, you know, which has, of course, prompted some criticism of whether Zach LaVine is a number one guy and all this other type of stuff. If those things turn in your favor, and of course every close game isn't going to go in your direction, you're looking at a pretty decent team that's playing above 500 ball, and they're playing up. They're trending upward. This isn't a team that is hovering around 500 as a veteran team. They're hovering around 500 as a team with more upside. So I think Bulls fans should be very optimistic about the short-term and long-term prospects.
We've been trying to have a nuanced conversation about Zach LaVine.
We've been trying yes.
very hard to do this. And it's not an argument whether or not you think you should trade Zach LaVine to get max value. The fact of the matter is Zach LaVine is very cheap right now, and he is at his maximum value. And if the front office, like, it took AK to build his last team, it took him 5 years to build his last team. So if they look at this, because like you mentioned, there's been little to no turnaround with this team. If they look at this team in the second half and just say, you know what, this ain't it. We've got to tear this completely down and rebuild. What do you think about whether you extend Zach LaVine, or would you trade him to try to get maximum value right now? Because you could probably get a couple first-round picks for him right now.
Honestly, I don't even think that, A, it's not even about extending Zach LaVine because of the CBA and everything concerning his contract. If you're going to, I guess, sort of extend him, it'll be a little bit tricky just because he's going to be a max player at the end of his contract. So I'm not sure if he'd want to extend at the same rate, was it $19-20 million that he's making now. So I don't even know if that would necessarily be the option. I mean, you could theoretically renegotiate, but it's just a bunch of tricky things in the CBA. But just on the thing of trading him in itself, I would have to ask, what are you expecting to get in return? Because it's the same thing that I said about, quote-unquote, trading Jimmy Butler. Your hope is that you get a player who can turn out like Jimmy Butler. Your hope is that you can trade a player like Zach LaVine in the hopes that you can get a player who can develop like Zach LaVine. Now, is lightning going to strike twice in that way that you're going to get that lucky? Do you just want to hit the reset button as an organization when you clearly, I believe, have much more personnel issues aside from whether Zach LaVine is a number one guy or not, and what first round picks, you know, can do, even though they step into the league a little bit more ready? Like, you're basically saying, hey, let's start all over again, even though we just got finished starting over. I think that's a tough sell for the Reinsdorf family when LaVine is basically turned into the player that, you know, odds would have said that he wouldn't have, considering his injury, considering his lack of pedigree. I think you should hold on to a player like that, regardless of whether it's max value or anything like that. Have you guys seen the contracts that have been traded over the past couple of years?
Oh, yeah.
No contract is untradeable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports talking basketball with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. So, Vincent, say that the Bulls do keep Zach going forward. Is there someone in the league that we can kind of keep our eyes on, a situation, a star, that maybe someday in the next 2 to 3 years, that should be a player that the Bulls front office should target to try and hope to pry to pair with Zach LaVine? Is there anyone that comes to mind when you think about that?
Honestly, you know what, there isn't at the moment, but I think if you look at the way that the league changes so quickly, like when you think about the Brooklyn Nets, when they looked to be the team that was not a hot spot, they were the team that was like a rest home for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and all those guys, and they've gotten to championship contention further, faster than the Boston Celtics have. So I would be very careful about saying, well, nobody looks like if they're out there right now. These things change on a trifle think about where we were 18 months ago with the likes of a Kevin Durant, a Kyrie Irving, and a James Harden. Now those three guys are playing together. I think it's about staying flexible with your personnel, not necessarily being tied up into bad contracts. Like, Otto Porter is a bad contract right now because of the money he's making relative to what he's not giving you on the floor. What you want to do is have the flexibility, the young players, and the draft capital to make yourself an asset to another team if another superstar, like let's say the Ben Simmons thing doesn't work out in Philadelphia just because that's the team that's playing in front of me right now and he's such a unique player that needs a special set of circumstances around him. Okay, cool. What about, you know, let's say Jamal Murray and Denver, that doesn't completely work itself out. I only say that because of Karnišovas and his history there in Denver, you know, and with that player. I think you always want to keep your powder dry and not make moves just to make moves, but still be able to stay progressive in terms of building your team. I don't necessarily think that there's this one superstar that's just sitting and waiting out there. I think it's your job to make yourself as competent as an organization as you possibly can to wash some of that Boylan, Paxson, Gar stink off of you to say, okay, you know what? I wouldn't mind playing here in this media market with these type of guys. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's a quarterback that says, you know what? I wouldn't mind coming and playing for the Chicago Bears. You want to make yourself attractive enough for a player to say, you know what? I wouldn't mind spending my winters in Chicago.
You mentioned the 76ers, they're beating up on Dallas right now. The Nets are beating up on Orlando as well. How do you see the hierarchy in the East right now? And are those two teams, I know they're only two games up on the Bucks, but are those two teams that much better than the Bucks right now?
I think that Brooklyn, as much as I thought that they would be a disaster, and I was a person on the island that said this is going to be a reality show, like a Chappelle skit coming to life, and we're just going to see it. And they've seen, in the Brooklyn Nets, they've seemed to have put things together. I think with their shot-making, they're far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference. I would not be surprised if the Milwaukee Bucks wound up getting things together. I know we've forgotten about them because of their flameouts and everything else. But I would not be surprised if there's a little bit of growth, a little bit of maturity. I am not necessarily a fan of the Philadelphia 76ers because you cannot have your second best player being afraid to shoot outside the paint. It can work in a regular season. It can work in these one-game runoffs. But when it comes to playoff basketball and having a game plan for guys, a game plan for a guy that's that important, I can't trust a guy Ben Simmons. The team that I would really be worried about if I'm in the Eastern Conference is the Miami Heat. They still made the finals last year. They still got Jimmy Butler over there. And until somebody beats them, I'm not betting against that dude.
Are you concerned at all, or should Lakers fans be concerned over the way they've played over the last 10 games? And then obviously Anthony Davis being out. Is there any concern there in the stacked Western Conference?
What month is this?
Well, it's February. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Look, when the weather gets nice, that's when I'll be concerned, all right?
I love it.
When you're a champion and you're playing the long game and you're coming off the bubble and everything else, you have to play the long. You have to play the long game even more. I'm sure there were points in the Michael Scottie era where they lost 3 out of 4 and are the Bulls vulnerable? And then you look across the way and you see the best player in the game and the best defensive player in the game, and you slap yourselves in the senses. That's like dating Halle Berry and Halle has a bad hair day. You're still dating Halle Berry at the end of the day. You don't dump her. You just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep and wake up tomorrow and I'll realize what I'm doing here. So do the Lakers have a couple of issues? Yeah, a little bit, but it's more to me the dog days of the season. I think if anything comes up late in the season, I think it's, okay, about the miles on LeBron, about Anthony Davis's injury. But just if those guys are at optimum strength, they shouldn't be afraid of anybody.
So that being said, are the Jazz just buying time and they can enjoy their number one seed in the West, and then when they run into the Lakers, it'll be over?
Well, I will say this. As a historian of NBA history, I have never seen a team make a leap from just being a team that made the first round to the NBA Finals without a significant superstar overhaul ever. And this is largely the same team with a couple of pieces here and there, but nothing huge, nothing seismic. I think that they can be a nice second-round team, maybe even make the conference finals if things break right. But I'm not taking them over the Lakers. I'm not taking them over the Clippers. And if you ask me in a first-round series against Steph Curry and Golden State, I might take Golden State at this point.
Yeah, and you know, like, Utah is such a fun watch right now, Vincent, and they're so good defensively. But, like, it's the offensive end. Like, I agree with you. I didn't see the explosion offensively coming this season from Utah.
I didn't either, but I think the thing is they moved the ball really well. They play very well together, and in such an unorthodox season, like, I'm not trying to discount them anyway. I'm not saying the Atlanta Hawks from a couple of years ago or just some regular season flame out that's going to get knocked out. I just don't see the premier shot creator beyond Donovan Mitchell, and I love Donovan Mitchell. I think he's like a cross between Joe Dumars and Dwayne Wade, and you're talking about two Hall of Fame, you know, top 10 guys at their position of all time, and I think Donovan Mitchell is that level of talent and athleticism. I just think he needs a little bit more, especially guys, considering the fact that he's 6'1".
So earlier tonight, we were talking about the All-Star game and the dunk contest specifically. If the NBA came to you and said, Vincent Goodwill, you can pick one NBA player to, then they have to be in the dunk contest. They don't get to say no. Yeah. They have to be in
they
the
have
dunk
to
contest.
Do it if you say that he's your selection.
Who would you pick right now?
Zach, do you feel like playing in the All-Star game, the three-point contest, and the dunk contest? Because that might be it. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, players currently, I know Zion Williamson is an explosive dunker, but I don't know if he's a creative one. And I think creativity is what the dunk contest needs, is what's special, creativity and power. To me, Zach, and I'm not just saying this because of who I'm talking to and everything else, Zach LaVine is probably one of the four greatest dunkers in the history of the dunk contest, and four might be low.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was saying earlier. Thank you, Vincent. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. You guys take it easy.
That's Vincent Goodwill. He's fantastic. Follow him on Yahoo Sports for all of his great reporting. You can also follow him on Twitter at Vince Goodwill. So Zach LaVine, Zion Williamson, LeBron James, some of the names we were throwing out. We'll continue to talk about that coming up next.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Coming up here on ESPN 1000 at 7:45, we have college basketball action, Northwestern and Minnesota. You'll hear the game right here on ESPN 1000 at 7:45. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Thank you to Eric Ostrowski and to Tyler Aki for producing the show tonight. You can download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Check it out. Download, subscribe, resubscribe, leave a comment, leave a review. 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you can do. Right there, Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app and wherever you can get your podcasts. Let's go to Portis in Lake of the Hills. Portis, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, I didn't think I was going to get on.
Oh, you didn't get on? What up, Portis?
What's up, guys? If I can comment about the Post Malone thing for all the squares, I think it is the face tattoos, and that may come up in a job interview. So, and then also, I've never heard the guy ever rap. I mean, every song I've heard him on, he sings all the time. So how can you really call him a rapper? Am I being really square with that comment?
I think he's more pop now than rap, especially because his last album was more singing than rapping.
He plays a guitar, right?
He plays the guitar in a lot of them.
He's a good singer.
Yeah, he's a really good singer. So I would now just consider him like a pop star, I guess. Like
he's a pop star now.
Like Bieber sometimes raps, kind of, but he's still a pop star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can I get my 2 cents on the Bulls since we've been talking about all night?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or let me get into character. Hold on. I'm going to do this. Playoffs? Are you talking about playoffs? What good would the Bulls making the playoffs do this team? This team, I've been on before about this, they should not make the playoffs. Playoffs? Was that a good impression, by the way?
No, it's a great impression.
Yes, it's good.
It's actually so good, I think you're playing audio. But that's fantastic.
No.
That's great.
What good is this team? I mean, half this squad is not going to be on this roster next year. What really would they accomplish if they go and make the playoffs? I mean, maybe it'd be good for Zach LaVine, but we're not even sure if he's going to be here. It could be good for Coby White, but that's like two or three players. They should not. And shame on you, Abdallah, because I thought you were with me on this.
Shame.
Three weeks ago, you didn't want him to make the playoffs. Wow. Now you're talking about resting Zach LaVine's legs and his knees for the playoffs.
Oh, I was being extremely sarcastic, Portis. I was being extremely sarcastic.
Thanks for the call, Portis. We appreciate it.
But no, to answer Portis's question, so like, here's, again, this goes back to the nuanced conversation of what does the front office believe this team is? If the second half of the season happens and the front office believes that this team is good enough to keep these guys around, then playoff experience is good for these young players, right? Making the playoffs would be a good thing. It's a good experience. But if they're just going to get rid of everybody because they don't like the players on this team, then it's probably not a good thing.
Will in Virginia, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up, guys? So real fast. Okay, so there's no wrong answer to this question, but I'm just curious.
Yep.
If you could get, if either of you guys could get Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, which one would you prefer to have?
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Abdallah?
Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson? Ooh.
I think Russell Wilson's the second best player in the NFL, so I go Wilson. I like Watson.
Watson's much younger.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm going to go with Watson just because of his age. I'm not considering compensation. I'm going to go with Watson because of his age.
Will, what would your pick be?
It's tough. I think Watson being younger is a good thing. But, I mean, I like Russell Wilson, too. You know, I like Russ. You can't go wrong either way. I'll say Russ. He wants to win. I mean, they both want to win. But Russ, he's trying to win right now. Not that they both aren't. But I'll go Russ.
Thanks for your call, Will. We appreciate it.
Will, that is a good question.
That's a good question, Will. That's a really good question. Good question.
Ring the bell.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate the phone call. That was a good question.
I'm just looking at age. Like, okay, yeah, what are we talking? The difference.
I'll concede.
Of,
you're probably right. Like, age, you go with Watson.
Like Wilson
but,
is what?
But Wilson's
top,
a better player.
You say Wilson's top two, and Watson's what? Top five?
Yeah. Yeah. You and I talked about it all football season.
Yeah.
We've talked about the. Here's the reason. We have these conversations, so when these things happen, we don't like, now I got to come up with a Russell Wilson thought. No, my thought is this. I thought all season long he was the second-best player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We thought that coming into the season. And then I also told you this fall that I thought Deshaun Watson was a top-five player. So,
yeah,
I get it. I'm glad that we could get to this. I appreciate all the phone calls tonight. And again, we have Northwestern Minnesota basketball coming up here on ESPN 1000. Sometimes I feel like we here at the station, you and I feel like we're in an episode of The Office. That's just how sometimes I feel like we look at the camera like we're Jim and Pam. Not that you and I are romantically
you guys are Jim and Pam.
Connected, yeah. but like, you know how like the deadpanned look at the camera because they know Michael is doing something, and I assume that a lot of people listening to the show have watched The Office, have seen The Office, are aware of what The Office is.
I'm laughing now, so if he's going to zoom in.
It's you got a promo code over your face, the whole thing. Earlier today, Cap was very frustrated with the conversation we had on Waddle and Sylvie. And one of his disses was at me, and it was this.
When's Black's Hall of Fame induction?
Wait, I don't under... Like...
When's Black's Hall of Fame induction?
That's the diss track is...
When's Black's Hall of Fame induction?
I mean, it's no you're hiding a child, but it's up
When's
there.
Black's Hall of Fame induction?
So is Cap saying because he's a Hall of Famer, like, when's my...
When's Black's Hall of Fame
is
induction?
Is he a Hall of Famer?
And then he followed up with this.
So,
you know, the Hall of Famer. Well, whatever. Northwestern Minnesota is up next.